make 1-6 immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot is brought to you by
Bevy Club Hawthorne and the Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. That's right. It's Derby Week, baby. Saturday is the Kentucky Derby, one of the greatest days of the year.
It is?
Yes.
Did we miss the Preakness?
The Preakness is 2 weeks after.
2 weeks after.
And the Belmont, 3 weeks after that.
I just want a guy, like every time, like every Friday, we need to talk to Jim Miller, our guy, right?
So this Thursday, the great Eddie Olchek would be with us.
Okay.
And I think you have Jim Miller on Friday.
Yeah, we need that.
We'll have our picks.
Need some help.
There you go. So, again, download the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We say good morning to Shay Norling.
Good morning, boys. How are we? The draft is over. Everybody seems very happy that we have real football to talk about now. It's not just rumor and conjecture anymore.
Yeah, man. I mean, and a great sports weekend on top of that. You got a little draft. You've got some great hockey, some great basketball, baseball. Eh. But we still had some good sports this weekend.
A lot of hockey baseball.
Was incredible.
But we're going to keep our listeners by talking about the good stuff. So go ahead, Shay.
All right, boys. The Bears took three offensive players with their treasure chest of draft picks. They took right tackle Darnell Wright, Texas running back Roschon Johnson, and Cincinnati wide receiver, who is a speed demon, in Tyler Scott in the fourth round. This all comes off the heels of adding a true number one receiver in DJ Moore. So shot or no shot, the Bears have done enough to help Justin Fields prove he's a star.
That's a shot. They've given him a competent, maybe not elite, competent wide receiver room with a number one guy. They have improved their moribund offensive line. I think they have a decent enough running back room. Yeah, if he's the guy, he should be a solid player. I'm not telling you he's got to throw for 4,800 yards. You should be a solid enough player, period.
That is a shot. And it all started for me before the draft. It started with DJ Moore. It started right there.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a prove-it, difference-making wide receiver. He is that for the Chicago Bears team. I don't care where you place him in your fantasy team. I don't care where you place him. What it comes down to is a guy that Fields can be comfortable with in the passing game. I do not want Fields running all over the yard. He needs to be able to be a better pocket passer. As much as we like his upside cap, he's got to be better at being able to hold on to the football, one, and not hold on to it like a freaking loaf of bread. That's one.
Correct.
But the other thing is, too, is like in the pocket, one, two, three, and then someone's got to be open. And just the timing of it has to be better.
Ball has to be. As Tom Brady said, they put a timer and a horn down in Tampa. 2.5 seconds, ball's got to be out every time. 2.5 seconds. Not a lot. So we'll see. Can he do it? We'll find out.
Yeah, I'm a big, I don't know about you two. I'm a big sacks are a quarterback stat guy. So this is the season where, look, the offensive line has been rebuilt a little bit with Nate Davis and Darnell Wright. The right side of the line especially is fully rebuilt. It's now on Fields to show sacks aren't a quarterback stat in his case.
Fair. Absolutely fair.
I want to ask about draft grades. I was going through them a little bit. I saw Chad Reuter of NFL.com had an A-. The Sporting News had the Bears at an A. Pete Prisco had the Bears at a B+. Pro Football Focus had the Bears at a B+. And our guy, Mel Kiper, had the Bears at a B+. Shot or no shot, with the experts aligned, you agree this was a great draft for Poles.
Well, that's a no shot. No shot. Because you're not going to get me the trick bag on that. It's a great question, but I listened very closely. That's a no shot. Put that in your date timer in 3 years and then ask me. And that, like, you can take a look at the draft and say, okay, did they pay dividends in year one? Well, that's the hope that they could be able to. But ultimately, I can't judge this just as of yet. I know we're quick to say boom or bust in the first 6 weeks of a season. I won't be doing that.
It's a no shot because the only thing stupider than mock drafts are post-draft three-day-old grades. It's the dumbest thing out there. And the mock drafts, a close second. Like when elections are over, thank God I don't have to hear any more commercials. Period. Same thing with these stupid mock drafts. Mel Kiper, 1 for 31 on his picks. Pete Prisco, 2 for 31. Peter King, 2 for 31. Schrager, 2 for 31. McShay, all the way up to 4 for 31.
Oh.
And Daniel Jeremiah, 6 for 31. Stop looking at these stupid mock drafts. Hey, the Bears are getting sold. No, they're not. They're not.
What about our mock draft? Do we pay attention to that? Or?
That's the only one that matters.
Oh, okay. I see.
And these ridiculous grades.
Uh-huh.
Dumb, stupid. Talk to me in 3 years and go, wow, look at that draft polls put together. He got 5 starters. 2 guys might go to the Hall of Fame.
Now, having said that, and again, I'm just a guy that sees that if you have some holes on your depth chart, that you should be able to fill them. If these people felt like, hey, the Bears were able to fill the holes on that depth chart of needs, I think I would give the Bears a B-plus in that regard. They didn't do it. They did some on the defense. They could have done more, sure, because that was such a glaring weakness on the depth chart on this team. So if it's for needs, sure, I give it a B-plus.
Yeah, I would give it a B, a solid B. They addressed the offensive line.
I hate draft grades. I'd give it a B. I hate
them. You're asking me to.
I hate them. I'd give it a B.
If you're making me do it, I think it's the stupidest exercise out there. You don't know what these guys are going to do when you put money in their pocket.
See? B.
Duh.
See, Shay, again, let me just tell you what just happened here, right? You throw the line in the water, right?
You made me make a pick.
That was good. That's fish in a barrel,
that's,
man.
That's how you do that.
That was unbelievable.
That's how you do that. You just throw the line in the water. It's like, you know, if it came for needs, I'd probably give it.
I give a beat too.
That was like,
I'll go with you.
That was like boar hunting with a grenade.
I'm not grading their draft. You asked me, did they address needs? Okay,
there
fine.
You have it.
Talk to me in 3 years. Other than mock drafts, this is the stupidest conversation out there. You wanted me to make a pick on did they address needs? Okay.
No, I just...
didn't touch defensive end. So
Listen, I'm just a... you're a best on the board guy, and I'm a needs guy. And I always look at a draft based on did you fill the bill for needs. And I said for the needs, look at what they were able to get. They were all like corner and defensive tackle. I was like, I had to be.
Okay, I'll sign with you.
I think it's a B, too.
I'll go with you.
It's the stupidest thing ever.
What's funniest to me is I actually agree with Cap. The draft grades are so dumb. It's the most useless exercise. The worst grade Kiper gave out. Guess what the lowest grade Kiper gave out was?
Probably a D to someone.
B minus.
Oh, well, then.
Everybody did great. Everybody was good. Like, what? Okay, we'll find out in a few years.
You thought the Lions was a head-scratcher, though, after round one.
I actually come away from the Lions draft. I still think round one is wild, but if you frame everything they did as we want to win right now, okay. It's what you two talk about, and I generally disagree with the idea of the pop-up. I think you can win and build long-term. I think the Lions failed to do that. They built to win, and long-term, they're going to be in a rough spot.
Now,
go ahead.
Trading DeAndre Swift. He's a Georgia kid, right?
Yes, he is.
They traded him to where, Philly?
Yeah.
Oh, they got another Georgia kid. It's like, you ought to become an Eagles fan. Again, is Jahmyr Gibbs going to be a good player? I hope so for their sake. They picked the, 12th?
I mean, don't worry about DeAndre Swift, Cap. He has barely played. He's been hurt since high school.
No, that's what I'm saying. The Lions, on paper, again, I'm not going to grade it because it's stupid, but obviously he's a talented football player.
Yeah,
they feel like they upgraded.
He's good for the room. That's ultimately, again, all of this is for Jalen Carter. The tread of the tires wore out after Georgia. That's what running backs do when they go to Georgia. You run the hell out of the football, you get to the NFL, you're not as good because you ran so hard at Georgia.
A lot of mileage. All right, we're not doing radio in Detroit or Philadelphia, boys. Let's move on. The White Sox, Hoodie's White Sox, got off the schneid yesterday. A 7-run ninth inning with a walk-off homer from Andrew Vaughn to beat the Rays. But they still lost the series and still have not won a series this season. On Friday, Ken Rosenthal outlined their future and the position the lack of talent in the farm system combined with a historical lack of big money contracts puts them in. Shot or no shot? If the White Sox don't turn it around, they're going to need to trade Dylan Cease.
Well, that's a shot. And, Cap, this is the most disappointed that I've been in a White Sox team in my lifetime. And it's not prisoner of the moment because all the L's that White Sox have had. It's just that this is based on a roster. You can go through spring training, and you remember we used to go through as kids. We go through the magazines and say, "What is our? What's you know? What are they saying about our team? What do they say?" Right?
Yeah, Sporting News. Yeah, Street and Smith's for college basketball.
Sports Illustrated. You take a look, right?
Right.
And you kind of look and say, "Yeah, this team is just not very good. Look at this lineup. Look at the roster. They're not ready to win, right?" But this team here, for the last 3 years, the door has been open, and for them to go through it and have be a perennial playoff team. And maybe a World Series team just based on the roster. I couldn't be more disappointed in the White Sox. And this is not casting aspersions on the entire organization, but those that are responsible for the team, the general manager, the president of baseball operations, the owner, this sucks. It's terrible. It's a great win for them to come from behind to win against the Rays, but this is a long systemic problem of loyalty. To a fault, over-the-top loyalty. It's nothing wrong with being loyal to a friend or being loyal to someone, but it's about business first. And Jerry Reinsdorf has to understand that if it's about business, if you love baseball more than anything else, then you do what's best for your baseball team. That number that we saw over the weekend from Hembo, from Greeny's show, is embarrassing since 2013. Embarrassing.
Since Rick Hahn became the general manager, the White Sox are 26th in win percentage in the big leagues, dead last in minor league win percentage, and they're six combined, minor leagues and majors, 657 games under 500.
So you know what this means, right? This is a systemic problem from the top to the bottom. And these are names you know, Chris Getz and Rick Hahn and the scouts and all these names you know. But what are you getting from this, that loyalty? Loyalty should be a two-way street.
Correct.
I love you, Kenny, because you played for my team and we felt so good about you and your baseball brilliance that you should be in our front office. Okay, Rick, you've been with the team for a long time. You've been through the good and the bad. And so now we want you to be part of this organization. But what are you getting for your loyalty? What is Reinsdorf getting back for his loyalty? Think about it. Think about it in those terms.
And the question, Shay, it was shot or no shot on Dylan Cease, right?
Correct.
Yeah, no shot you trade Dylan Cease. He's a franchise pitcher. And if you're not prepared to write a contract commensurate with his level of skill, let's assume he finishes this season healthy and has a really good year. If you're not prepared to pay him, then yeah, I guess you do have to trade him. But if you're not prepared to pay a guy that can win a Cy Young every single year, then you do need to get out of the business.
That was what Ken Rosenthal posed, though, Cap, was this is a team that has never given out a $100 million contract, and Dylan Cease is probably going to get $250 million, if not more. Like, he is a guy who could potentially win a Cy Young, multiple Cy Youngs. He's going to sign one of those enormous deals. The White Sox have never done that in team history. So if they're not going to do it now, they have to trade him.
They bent over with no Vaseline for John Danks. Like, they just hammered. Like, are we sure? I'm not going to pay a pitcher for over 5 years. Okay. He did. What did Jerry get for his loyalty?
Nothing.
That's the whole point of this. So that's why it's embarrassing. If I'm Jerry, I call Nancy in the front office or whoever's next to her, and I give me a one-way ticket to Scottsdale. Sir, when will you be returning? Next April.
I mean, is this not Chris Sale all over again? It's deja vu.
Seriously, I mean, that's what I would be doing, Cap. I'd be out of here. Like, because there's no, listen, you can put Rick Hahn up there all you want to try to sox-plain his way through it, but this is embarrassing.
Correct, it's different that when they blew up the White Sox with Chris Sale, they didn't have anything on the roster. Now, again, I'm not saying these guys are great players, but they have long-term financial commitments tied to Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, Yoan Moncada, like long-term. And they have Andrew Vaughn, who's a good player. I think Oscar Colas looks overmatched for me right now. Benintendi, a long-term financial commitment. Like, it's a different organization. They're just not winning.
In an hour from now, we'll pick up the baseball conversation with Jesse Rogers, who covers the Major League Baseball for ESPN. We will go around the National Football League next. Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n J. Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap and Jay Hood. And still to come, Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears and the NFL for ESPN. And ESPN.com will be with us at 8:35. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, boys, let's get started with Hoodie. You're wearing that nice little hoodie today, the Georgia hoodie. And guess what? The Philadelphia Eagles are now the Georgia Bulldogs. They are very, very close to recreating the Georgia national title defense. They've added Jalen Carter. They've added Nolan Smith. They went out and got DeAndre Swift. Everybody on that team is a Bulldog.
Well, that's what happens. You know, if you're looking to show up your defense, you go to the best. And you go to the Georgia Bulldogs. That's exactly what you do. And
can't argue. They won two straight.
Yeah. So, but ultimately, this is what we've been pounding the pulpit about for a while, Cap. Jalen Carter needed to have an infrastructure around him. There's no excuses now, Jalen. Look at all your teammates, even guys that you didn't even play with that wasn't Georgia Bulldogs around you. This should help Jalen Carter. Shot or no shot, should it help him? It should. Now, it's up to him, but you've got an infrastructure there, along with Eagles that have already been there, to help foster this young man along. No excuses. They want this Jalen Carter thing to work. Look how many Bulldogs they put on the team.
I love the fact that the Bears passed on this kid because of red flags. I was told there was zero scenario they were drafting him. Zero. The Eagles, as you just astutely pointed out, have a support system of Georgia guys, a veteran team, Hassan Reddick and Fletcher Cox and Jalen Hurts. And this whole thing is put to Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson. They've got all these dudes. Hey, man, we don't act that way here. Here's how you're going to comport yourself, or you're not going to be here. And they'll move on. Roll the dice. It worked or it didn't work. Here, we don't have that. So I like what we've done. If I'm an Eagles fan, I love that they took the chance.
It's interesting because I think that both of us will keep our eyes on Carter and Wright because they're going to be linked together. We did have some calls that come into ESPN 1000 over the last 72 hours that felt like, hey, the Bears whiffed on the pick and that they should have went with Carter because the Bears were bereft of talent on the defensive line. Okay, we're going to find out. I just think that Darnell Wright is going to be solid for the Bears on the offensive line. Carter should help the Eagles. I think that this swap helps both teams. I do.
Agreed.
Shay Norling.
Aaron Rodgers is making his presence felt in New York. He was at the Rangers game on Saturday. He was at the Knicks game on Sunday. And a little bit of luck because the Bucks got eliminated by the Heat. He didn't have to watch the team he has a 3% ownership in New York. He just had to watch the Knicks and the Heat. And the Knicks lost. But Rodgers is making his face known. People think this is already an effort to ingratiate himself to the New York landscape.
Well, this is great PR for Aaron Rodgers. And it's good for him that you got a couple teams in that area. They're going to the playoffs. So that way he can go to Madison Square Garden. He could be able to check out the playoffs. So actually, if anyone had any issues with Aaron Rodgers, I can understand why you would. He's trying to make do by being part of that area, being part of the sports landscape. I saw him at the hockey game, you know, with some teammates. So that's good for him. He needs that PR.
And I saw the cut where someone said, are you going to practice with the team now that you're new here? Because he didn't in Green Bay last year or last 2 years. And he said, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. And he was on the field. I saw the highlights. So good to see he's locked in trying to get this thing right.
Shay, can we talk about the son of a scout?
Deuce Vaughn?
Can we talk about that?
Awesome.
Absolutely.
So scout Chris Vaughn, the draft choice for the Dallas Cowboys, is Deuce, the son of Chris Vaughn, a scout with the Dallas Cowboys. Listen.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. This is Dad. My phone wasn't working. Look at here, man. You want to come to work with me next week?
I wouldn't mind that at all.
I got somebody want to speak to.
in for everybody that's really in the heart of the Dallas Cowboys is standing here with a tear in our eye. We're so happy to have you on the Dallas Cowboys.
I can't thank you enough.
Well, what I really want to say, you earned every ounce of me being able to make this call. I'm so excited. There's just something magical about this moment that may be bigger than we even realize here talking to you on the phone. But you is now a Dallas Cowboy. Your daddy just handed the card in.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty
awesome.
Cool. So the son, so Deuce Vaughn is now the part of the Dallas Cowboys. The scout Chris Vaughn is with the Dallas Cowboys. I found this very interesting, though, the beginning.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. This is Dad. My phone wasn't working.
Wait a minute. When you call your son, do you say, "Hey, this is Dad. How are you, Alex?" Do you say, "This is Dad," or do they know?
No,
it's
he
you?
Answers the phone. Because he sees it on his phone.
Hey, buddy.
But he called from a different number.
Hey, it's going good. This is Dad, my phone.
He doesn't know his own dad's voice there.
Right, but he knows he's being filmed, too.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. This is Dad, my phone.
You signed all your text Dad, too, at the end?
That was for the audience. He knew what he was doing.
He was getting filmed. He knows. This is going to be really, really amazing moment. I'm about to start crying and... Hey, buddy. Like, if I was calling Brett, man, I don't go, "This is Dad." Hey, Brett, man, what time am I picking you? That I go right into what I'm talking about. Right?
Tears or TV tears?
Those were real. He was.
Okay, I get it.
They got the little eye drops right before to get the waterworks
going.
You
know what? Don't be so cynical. Go back to your draft grades.
They're not my draft grades. They're yours. You gave him a B.
Yeah. No. He asked me about needs. I didn't grade the draft.
Got me a big one.
You know what? I'm going home.
All right, boys. You wouldn't leave me.
Never.
You wouldn't leave me. But I think it's fascinating that, I mean, it's television. The story is that he's calling his son. "Hey, son. Hey, this is Dad. How are you, pal?" What? Here's Shane Orland.
This league and the way they dominate the calendar.
Hey, buddy.
In about 10 days.
Hey, it's going good. This is Dad.
In about 10 days, we are going to have an NFL schedule to break down. Adam Schefter reporting the league is targeting May 11th to release the full schedule for each team.
I can't wait. That's a win. That's a loss. That's a win. That's a loss. I like the meatball pick. It doesn't affect me in any way from a gambling standpoint, but I like to see the ebb and flow of the schedule. We know the Bears are going to play. We just like to see the ebb and flow of the schedule. The reason why that's important, Cap, is we had so many calls last year when the schedule came out. And that middle part of the schedule, people thought Bears are going to be able to turn these games. That middle part, Atlanta, Jets, Giants. Oh, Bears are going to win. No.
Didn't win any of them.
No. And this, again, it's not about the talent as much as it is the team wasn't ready to win. If they would have kept the veterans on the team, the Bears would have lost those games.
Correct.
Young players, they would have lost that game. So either way.
That's how tough to turn it around it is.
Shane Orland.
Let's talk about Deion Sanders for a moment, if we may. Oh, at sure. Colorado, he has taken over the job at the University of Colorado, and stories broke last week about the transfer portal exodus. It seemed like the entire team was leaving, and then some players spoke out about what was going on. There are reports that Deion didn't know the names of kids he was cutting, that his coaches showed up and wouldn't talk to players who were already on the team, and if they did, they were harder on them in film sessions, that they basically pushed these guys out. They aren't choosing to transfer out. They were cut. He's treating it a bit like a professional team.
I totally understand it, but we can't be surprised at it because we heard early in one of his videos, like, "A lot of you guys are not going to be here, so hit that portal. Like, I'm looking for winners here. You guys that were losing with Colorado before, like, I want winners." Now, does that mean wins for Deion? I don't know. I'm taking the under when it comes to the one loss total for Colorado.
Yeah, I think he's more sizzle rather than steak at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, it's easier at Jackson State. Somebody gives you some NIL money because you're wildly connected, and boom. The talent level is raised in a very mediocre conference. Now you're in with the big dogs. I mean, you got to play some really, really impactful teams with big budgets that go out and get good players. Remember Colorado when they hired him said, we don't know how we're going to pay for this, but we'll raise the money. Like, it's a totally different deal. Plus, he's got, what, 85 guys on scholarship? How's he supposed to know the name of all those kids?
Hey, you, blue shirt. You're out of here.
He should know the names of his
Must
players.
Must be the money.
All 85 guys.
I guess they aren't his players. Yes, you should know the names of the kids at the school you're at. That's ridiculous.
And you with the bowl on your head.
To not even take the time to learn their names? I agree he's more sizzle than steak. The thing I've never understood, and Hoodie will get this, he had a job offer at Southern Florida. Why wouldn't he go there? That's a better football program.
Where, South Florida?
Yeah, it's not Power 5, but it's a better program than Colorado.
He wanted a Power 5 job?
Okay. I don't know what he's doing.
I would probably... I mean, you go where the money's going. Could you win more in South Florida? Yes, I would say.
Yeah, but got $30 million, 29.5, to go to Colorado. South Florida's not paying that.
I understand.
Well, neither is Colorado. They got a Kickstarter. So far, true. The money's not there right now.
But he's getting it.
Let me just say this on the just very briefly. So when it comes to Deion Sanders, I mean, whatever's happening to Colorado, it'll be interesting to watch. Everyone likes to see a tire fire on the side of the road. But the idea that there was just one HBCU player taken in this draft is deplorable. We got to stop looking at the HBCU as way, way less than college football, because it's not. There's talent there in the HBCU as well. There's plenty of examples that Cap and I can give you of players being able to be drafted from historically black colleges, and they play solid football, and they can make a difference for a football team. That they have their own television deal. They got their own app deal with HBCU Go. If you don't believe me, just watch the games. The idea that you set aside us, HBCU, we can get one player out of 7 rounds of the draft is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. You can't find a big lineman on the offensive side or defensive side in the HBCU that can help you. You can't find a skill position player in the HBCU that can help you. I'm not saying the whole draft should be filled with HBCU players, but just to have one in 7 rounds is nonsense. It's about time for the NFL to grow up. Courtney Cronin coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox avoided a sweep yesterday with a 12-9 walk-off victory against Tampa. They start a home series against the Twins tomorrow. The Cubs got swept by Miami over the weekend. The series started against Washington today at 6:05. Cubs, by the way, 14-13, 3-7 in their last 10 games. The President's Trophy curse continues. The Bruins, they lose 4-3 in overtime to Florida in Game 7. Boston led the series 3-1 before losing 3 straight. Steph Curry made history yesterday with 50 points in Game 7. It'll be Steph against LeBron in the Western Conference semis, first playoff meeting since the 2018 finals. Jay Moore.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap'n Jay Hood experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
On the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show. Good morning, Courtney.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Go ahead. Say it. Say it.
What's up, double C?
There we go.
There you go.
Had to let him get it in.
It's not complete unless he says that. So Courtney, I want to get your overall thoughts on what the Bears did in the draft. What do you think of how they were able to go through the last 3 days?
I think they took a conservative approach to address a couple very important needs, offensive line being one of them, which we talked about on Friday, but you know, the interior of the defensive line. I know everybody's upset that they didn't get an edge rusher. And there were moments, rounds 2 through 7, that they could have probably at least brought a body in, and they didn't do it. But it is important, and they've talked about this at length, where if you can dent the pocket, you know, keep the quarterback high and put the pressure from coming from the interior, that's really important. So they addressed a handful of different needs where you have an offensive lineman, two defensive tackles, two cornerbacks, a safety, three defensive tackles, you know, a running back who might be the steal of this draft class in Roschon Johnson, a wide receiver, a linebacker. They hit on a lot of different places, but again, going forward now, it's the waiting game to see, will they go after a defensive end, an edge rusher, anybody who can try to get off the edge to get the quarterback? Will that happen here in the next couple of weeks? Because it kind of needs to, considering what their options would be if they don't bring somebody in.
So I said to Hoodie and to Shay and Jay Moore this morning that I think Ryan is looking at this saying, I'm okay with whatever happens next season. I want to see my quarterback take a step. I feel like my offense has given him an opportunity now to make plays. We're not going to be good enough defensively. I don't see that this is a playoff team. I do think that they're going to make progress. Is that a fair way to look at it? Or do you feel like, nope, this is a playoff team?
No, I'm with you. And I think you and I have talked about this. 7 or 8 wins for this team would be immense improvement. And that would be the step in the right direction. Do they get to 7 or 8 wins? I don't know. But I think this is not a team that's ready to contend just yet. Ryan Poles has literally told us that this is not going to be something where they have a knee-jerk reaction to trying to fill needs. And I know that can frustrate some Bears fans, because the most glaring need, arguably, aside from the offensive line, is one that they didn't come away with in free agency or the draft. Now, does that mean that it's all null and void? Not at all. But this is a team that is going to have holes on the roster. Literally, the general manager told us all that back in March, and he reiterated it again this weekend. If that's not a good enough answer for Bears fans, then I suggest taking a look at what the team at 35th and Shields is doing right now and telling you the same thing over and over again and trying to paint it in a light that makes, you know, fans come across as, you know, unintelligent. The Bears, for as much as this can irritate people, I think the Bears are doing exactly what they believe is the right approach to a methodical rebuild, not a 5-year rebuild that's gone nowhere. And when you take a look at it from a front office perspective, they're doing this according to their plan. It might not be to the exact timeline of impatient Bears fans, and I can understand that, but at least they're being honest with you about how they're going about this, unlike some other franchises in this city.
What surprised you most about the draft for the Bears? Something in day 2 or day 3 that raised your eyebrow?
I was a little, when you take a look at Gervon Dexter and Zach Pickens, I was a little surprised with the Dexter pick, because you already signed Andrew Billings in free agency to be your big run stuffer there in the middle. And we know that Dexter doesn't have those sorts of numbers from his college career. I believe he came away with 2 sacks last season. I like the Pickens pick a lot. I really do. But, you know, to me, going defensive tackle on day 2, and of course the cornerback there in the middle, was just a little surprising to me. I know that they want to bring in depth there, and both of those guys will push Justin Jones and Andrew Billings for playing time. And who knows, maybe we see 2 new starters, or maybe a mix of starters. And they want to keep guys fresh, because when you're, you know, they're 4-2-5 base, more or less. Like, no more of this 4-3 stuff. Like, they're in nickel a lot. So you have to keep fresh bodies in there, and especially from a pass rushing perspective, that helps. But I was a little surprised that one of those didn't go to an edge rusher, because there were, you know, a handful of outside linebackers, defensive end, however they were classified, that were available to the Bears rounds 2 and 3 that they just didn't go after.
So we were laughing. I hate draft grades. Hoodie reeled me in and made me give a grade for addressing needs. So I said, okay, it's a B. They addressed the interior. You've talked about it. They got Darnell Wright, who we all like, and he was on Waddle and Sylvie on Friday, and I just fell in love with listening to that kid on that interview. He's got so much personality. I just like the fit. The running back out of Texas that Yurko was saying, get the backup to Bijan Robinson. They did just that. Looking at all of this, is it now, Justin, you got no excuses, man. We've given you everything you need to succeed.
It's trending that way. And, of course, it's going to determine the offensive line and how they you know, what that five look like is going to determine it. But they've done everything they can to now give him there's no more excuses this season. If this thing goes according to plan, yes, he will be insulated enough to where you can get a better gauge on who he is as a quarterback in year three. They went out and got the number one receiver that they so desperately needed. To me, the Tyler Scott pick is a way for them to course correct Velus Jones last year. You have a guy who has the speed, has the ability on post routes. He's your vertical threat for Justin Fields, and hopefully he can catch the ball too. That would be an added bonus for a quarterback. But you have the receiver room pretty much set, and it looks good on paper right now. Same thing with the offensive line. And what we find out on Saturday is that they're okay with Cody Whitehair and Lucas Patrick, you know, on the interior, probably contending for who's going to play center. I asked Ryan Poles about that, thinking, I think we talked about this on Friday. I thought they would have tried to get a guard or somebody who had inside positional flexibility on Friday, and they didn't. And they didn't do it on Saturday either. So they're telling you they're okay with what they have. So now, and also, you know, the running back room, you know, tight end, all of it's there. But now it's on Justin Fields to make that jump in year three. And I don't want to go out and say it's the exact same situation as Tua Tagovailoa last year, because they happened to bring in a Pro Bowl left tackle in Teron Armstead. They got Tyreek Hill, and they set him up for success by putting all of those very high-end pieces around Tua to see what he could do in year three. But it's a similar situation, not similar talent probably by and large in some of those positions, but they have made the effort to get the offense fortified to a place where they just couldn't do it last year. And again, I thought Ryan Poles was very honest on Saturday that the spot he was in last year, he couldn't do that with the players that they had. Now those excuses are out the window, and we really get to see what Justin Fields made of this year based on what's around him.
By the way, Doug Kramer, is he factor in at all at center?
If he's healthy, I mean, he is still on this roster. I know we barely got to see him because of when he got hurt last year, but I would like to believe that, you know, if he recovers from, I believe it was an ACL, that he'll be out there at camp. And he is young, so, I mean, they do, you know, my whole thing is you want to get younger at center, because Cody's in his 30s, Lucas Patrick is 29 years old. I wouldn't say it's necessarily injury concerns, because Whitehair was only hurt for, you know, really his only time on IR was last year, but eventually you want to trend younger in that direction, and we don't know where, you know, how the Tevin Jenkins left guard experiment is going to work out. But Doug Kramer, I would imagine, will be in the fold for something, for some one of those spots during training camp.
As always, Courtney, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Have a great day.
Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN.com on the CarX hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Is Steph Curry the greatest point guard ever? Next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. So glad you're with us here on this Monday morning. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers coming up at 9:18 right here on ESPN 1000. Stephen A. Smith had something to say about Steph Curry as the Golden State Warriors shut down the Sacramento Kings yesterday in Game 7. I mean, good for Sacramento. They've just been just a lousy franchise for a long time, and they were able to get to Game 7. They got the people up at the Golden 1 Center. It was good to see the crowd into it.
What is the name of their place?
Golden 1 Center. Not the Arco Arena.
Yeah, that's what I was.
No, Adelman. It's not. It's the Golden 1 Center. And Stephen A. on Steph Curry. Listen.
Sensational, electrifying, or dropping.
It's
hard to put into words the greatness of this dude. But he put it on display and basically put the world on notice. There's levels to this. There are stars all over the place. There are even superstars that you can look. But there's still another level. And there's nobody on Sacramento that could touch that level. Wilbon and I watched this game together. And I literally said, Wilbon, I'm not definitively stating it. I had to be educated, Jalen, by the Godfather. I had to be educated by other Hall of Famers who will remain nameless. But I literally said, we need to have the discussion as to whether or not this man is the greatest point guard. who has ever lived, because when you're talking about impact and the fact that he could affect so many things because of his shooting ability, I've never seen anything like it. But I'm not surprised.
Cap, a 50 burger by Steph Curry on the Sacramento Kings yesterday. 120 to 100 was the final.
So the shot that he hit, Sacramento got a hoop. They got it to 12.
Yep.
Crowd, you can hear it. It sounded like the old Chicago Stadium when the Bulls were in their heyday. Defense! And he hit a three where he fell to the floor. Didn't get fouled. He had a hand literally in his face. And he drained it. And I went, okay, this game's over. Done. And boom, next thing you know, they're 22 up. Over. That shot cut their heart out.
Cap.
He's amazing.
It's not prison of a moment when I say this. But, Cap, he literally is unguardable. Steph Curry.
It's a great point.
I know, like, that sounds ridiculous, right? Come on, Hood. There's five guys that could stop him. How could... No one's stopping him, Cap.
Nobody.
He's the greatest shooter I've ever seen. He is. No one has that range. No one would ever have the balls to have that kind of range. Well, if someone had that range back in the day, they'd be pulled and set right next to the coaching staff.
Who are the best shooters you've seen? Reggie Miller.
Yes.
Ray Allen has to be in that discussion.
Yep.
Steph Curry. Like, there's a bunch of really good shooters.
Yes.
I'm talking about lethal assassins.
Peja
Stojakovic.
Yeah.
The late Drazen Petrovic was the best I ever saw.
Mm-hmm. Cap.
This guy's better.
Cap, you can't... That sounds ridiculous for someone who's 5'11", 6 foot on a good day. To say, oh, you can stop... You can't stop him.
Wait, how tall is he?
Look, he's 6 foot listed.
I mean, it's ridiculous,
but
whatever
really,
he is.
But not really. Right? But the whole point is, though, is like... So, how... Here's the thing, other thing, too. He's the greatest shooter I've ever seen. Is he the best point guard I've ever seen? I mean, he's right there in the team photo. But I'm saying... On top of that, Cap, he's untouchable. He does stuff that if LeBron did stuff like that, the histrionics on the floor, there'd be hours and hours of television about how come LeBron's a bad teammate? How come he's a bad sport? Did you see what Steph did? He did the whole, like, plunge with the, you know, how they light the beam?
Yeah.
How do you got to do this to light the beam?
Yeah.
He did that after the game. He's like, boom, light that beam. F you, take that.
Right.
That's what he did.
Right.
He dances and all this stuff. We don't say anything about all the stuff that he does because he's such a great player. If he was LeBron, though, if he was someone else, oh, God. What's wrong with this guy? He's unsportsmanlike. How come act like you've been there before? For Steph, he does the dancing. Doesn't do a lot of talking, but he backs it up on the floor. It's amazing.
And he also does not have an image of being a jerk. And I got to call games in that league for 12 years in the Atlantic 10. They loved him as a person. Said, what a wonderful guy. So he doesn't have the other part of the persona.
Right.
So if he gives you the little shimmy shake and all that stuff, he's a good dude.
That doesn't work that way in
what
that league.
Player.
No, but what you just said does not work that way in this league. It does not. Only Steph has that. He does. Only Steph has that. All right, you know, he's a great player. He could do what he wants. He could do what he wants. In this life, in 2023, where you cast aspersions on everyone, criticize everyone in the social media
era. Don't forget, he has a teammate that's one of the... I don't know the man. I'm not calling him a jerk. His perception is a jerk in Draymond.
No question.
That guy next to him? Oh, he's got to be a good dude.
Oh, he's Dumars to Draymond's Lambeer. That's pretty much what it is.
Or Rodman.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much.
Or Mahorn. They had all those dudes.
I mean, and like Dumars with
Joe is a gentleman.
He's a saint.
Right.
It's like all those other guys were jerks.
Correct.
So just, yeah, I mean, to say that he's unguardable sounds ridiculous out of my mouth. But it's true, Cap. He can shoot it for 30, he shoot it from the moon and he goes in.
Can't disagree.
But also terrible from the foul line sometimes, you know? I mean, a perfect example. He's asked after the game.
Hopefully,
they said, who could stop you, Steph?
Hopefully, we'll never find out.
I mean, it's a good question. Like, who could stop you?
Hopefully, we'll never find out.
The only person that can stop Steph is Steph. It's weird he goes 3 for 5 from the foul line, but scores 50 points.
I wonder how he would have been if Michael was guarding him, or Scotty, with the long arms, oh, with the defensive mindset that those two had.
I'll tell you exactly how that would have worked. I'll tell you how it worked. Steph would have crossed Michael over, because Michael would have been like, switch, I got him. Because he used to take on smaller guards, right? I got him. And what would happen is that Steph would cross Mike over, Mike would crumble to the floor, you go, that's the last time that's going to happen. Now I'm going to beat your ass. Because he did, Tim Legler did it to him. It was like at the Cap Center. I remember watching that game. Legler left, right, left, and Jordan crumbled to the floor, embarrassed. And then Legler hit a three on him. That was the last time.
Correct. Right. Now you've awakened the beast.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But it's just, he's just amazing. So, give him his flowers.
Okay,
this morning.
So if I told you you had the number one pick in the point guard draft, mm-hmm. you take it, Steph,
yep.
all time?
Yep. I need that scoring.
I think he'd be second on my list. I would take Magic.
Magic who? We had a horrible baseball weekend. We'll talk about that. Jesse Rogers at 9:18. We'll be back in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.